about to get my Cinema Stash rehash on.
Let's go!
What?
Oh, yeah.
Podcasting from Chico, California, and home of the world's largest functional yo-yo. They are Cinema Stash Rehash. Join them as they talk movies, make fun of them, and discover how they fuel your everyday life paranoia. Let me welcome you to...
Hey, you guys! We are back, the Cinema Stash Rehash. I am Wyatt, and I'm here with my buddies Jason.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
And we are rehashing one of the greatest movies of our generation, and hopefully generations to come, because it seems pretty timeless after revisiting this movie year in and year out, I must say.
Oh, yeah.
But we're going after Goonies today. And Goonies, you know, I mean, came out in 85. Another Spielberg movie. I mean, it seems like we're doing Spielberg movies almost weekly now.
Well, let's be honest, we're also doing Corey Feldman movies. I mean, that's basically... Like
this should just be called the Feldman podcast or something.
The Spielberg-Feldman trio.
How many is this? Is this number two or number three?
Of what? Spielberg or Feldman?
Feldman.
I was Feldman, Feldman, it's two, but Spielberg, this is three. But of the influences of Spielberg, this is the least most, I would say, of the movies we are rehashing.
The least most?
Yeah, like he wrote the story, but he didn't write the screenplay, and Richard Donner had more of an influence on this movie than Steven
That's
Spielberg.
True.
He was present, but he wasn't having the impact like he did probably on our last episode with Poltergeist.
Exactly, yeah.
Definitely.
But great movie. I mean, I know all three of us have deep... you know, connections to this movie, just maybe from seeing it 1,000 times, or maybe, you know, having things that, you know, you could connect with as these kids go through their adventures that you had when you were kids and stuff like that. So I think that's what we'll talk about, along with the way the movie goes. I mean, and it starts off right off the bat with a kind of, you know, ominous scene where you're just like, wait, it's in this jail, and you know, the music is, by the way, the score of this music, I don't know who does it exactly. I wish I would have written that down, but the music in this movie is just as good as the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's the type of music like that just, it's like adventure music. How else do you describe it?
It is adventure music. It's adventure music the entire movie.
Yeah.
Even when there's not adventure being had, you're still has a very upbeat style tempo to the whole soundtrack for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I was saying is like the opening scene is what I love about this movie the best. It's like probably the only movie that off the top of my head, I'm probably wrong, but still, to where you literally are introduced to every single character during the intro scene.
Yeah, the ones that matter for sure.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's everyone. Yeah, there's except for the parents, but I mean, you don't see them. So yeah,
except for Mouth's dad.
Yeah. But wasn't he just like under the sink? You never really actually saw him.
Yeah, you kind of see him. But
you meet everybody in the entire movie in the first 3 minutes, and it's just it's an epic montage scene of just
And they're all kind of, you know, they're all kind of different, you know,
showing their antics. Yeah,
yeah. Except for the, you know, cheerleader, like she seems like the only person that has some sort of superficiality to her. Everybody else is pretty unique.
Exactly. You know, the inventor Data and, you know, just
Data and Mouth, you know, like you just kind of know Corey Feldman's personality, you know, and he's kind of the wild guy. And then Chunk is, they don't make any bones about it. He's the fat kid.
Yeah, yeah. You know? He's just the klutz fat kid. Yeah. He just brings it, you know,
different time now. Yeah. Would that fly in cinema nowadays? How much crap they give him for being a fat kid,
or how much crap he eats as a fat kid? He's like, here's my pizza. He is so into food.
That's true. It's not. He's not embarrassed of it.
Anybody got a candy bar? Like he's like, I can't climb this hill without a candy bar. But anyway, I mean, that's that introduction. You're right. It is awesome where they introduce everybody, and you kind of already recognize faces before they show up on the screen. Other than the douchebag Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he drives me crazy in the movie, but he's necessary because you have to have that aspect, that the antagonist aspect of the film. So there's always going to be somebody.
Yeah,
you know,
well, you know, it's funny because when this movie gets going, where Mikey's, you know, it winds down from the opening chase scene where Mikey's in his room and he's kind of, you know, pissing and moaning about the weather, and Brand's working out in his like sweatsuit, you know,
he's got that weird mid 80s. cord thing, the, you know, the kind spring. Of
like Bowflexy thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, I
was wondering what that was. Like, what is that? It's a pec. It's a for your pecs, I'm sure, but
yeah,
it's a total 80s machine.
He's got all the gadgets, man. Like, he's got that. He's got that deal. He's got the stretchy, springy deal that they eventually tie him up in, and then he's got the boots that have hooks on
them. The super cutoff sweatshirt that only goes up to, you know, right below the nipples.
And, yeah. But of all the fucking gadgets,
Josh Brolin's great though.
Of all the fucking gadgets that guy gets, he gets the shittiest fucking bike tires ever. You just pull the fucking caps off, and they just spew out. Yeah, they don't even let the air out of his tires. They just unscrew the caps, and it's just like
he did 367 lawnmower jobs for that bike.
that's an expensive. What? I mean, he was getting paid shit.
Yeah, right? Exactly. You have to do 300. I mean, how much did that bike cost? I mean,
if you got paid a dollar for every lawnmower job in 1985, a $300
that you exactly. That's you got paid a dollar. Yeah. That's what you were.
He
paid
was probably for. Getting paid.
Well, maybe half of them are pro bono. It's Josh Brolin. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to get to know you guys a little better. How old are you again?
I just turned 37.
I'm going to turn 38 in July.
Okay, so I am 32. I'm 31. I'll be turning 32 this year. I was born the same year this movie came out. I feel it's a little bit before my time. And I don't mean to comment in age, but I didn't watch it as much as I watched certain movies that came closer to the 90s, you know, like Jurassic Park and things like that.
Well, it makes sense because you had that gap.
Yeah. Right. And so
by the time you would have watched it, you would have been 8 years old.
And so I've never, you know, I've always liked the Goonies, and we've actually, you know, we've talked about it with a friend on a different podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with everything you guys said, but when I watch it, it's not, I've always wanted more from the Goonies because it's always been. Yeah, I loved it, but I didn't love it, you know? It's one of those movies for me. Because I think maybe I am one of those people that kind of get... No, I'm not offended at all, but I just don't... I get uncomfortable, and it's different. It's a different time now, you know?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's why I brought the subject up,
because
they're
making out in a tunnel right next to all these kids, and it's like, it's just like, you know, it's just a weird time. I don't know, it's a weird thing. That was a weird thing for me.
Yeah.
Also, I was going to ask you guys, because you guys know more about this movie than I do. Did Data live with... Sam Austin, or
no.
Sean Austin's character?
No, he has his own parents at the very end of the film.
Parents are there.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. Okay, so they just live in the same community.
Yes.
And the Goondocks.
Yeah.
That's what the Goondocks are. It's like
it's called the Goondocks.
Yeah.
The Goondocks.
Is that in the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I watched it like an hour ago, so.
did you watch Jurassic Park before it or something? No.
Why?
Because you were saying Jurassic Park's like your Goonies, but that's cool.
That's okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I didn't watch Jurassic Park.
But. Of course you did.
Okay, I did.
So you can't help it. You can't help.
No, I decided to feel like I'm. I mean,
yeah. The
most of the movies we've talked about, and I like the fact that now we're kind of getting to the point where we're. I mean, it's the Goonies for God's sakes, but we're getting to the point where we can talk about movies that. You know, we're six episodes in, so it's not that many. But we can talk about movies that maybe we don't agree in completely.
This
might be one of those movies, because I liked it. But I remember watching it an hour ago thinking, like, you know, I use this word a lot, but laboring through the movie.
Hmm.
It just kept on, you know, like, I've seen it before. But you know, there are certain scenes I really love about the movie. I love the piano scene. When she's playing the chords. Great. It's a good suspenseful scene. I like the music. I like the tone. I like the acting in it. I like Sean Austin's character.
Yeah, Mikey.
Mikey, thank you. I like
definitely.
Like, you know, it's good. He you can tell he kind of evolves in the movie, and so it's cool. I do have another game for you guys, though. I watched this with my girlfriend, and she came up with this actually. Where does Sean Austin, if you think about him in a movie, because he's been in some decent flicks. What movie do you think of him in? Because when I saw him. When he came on the screen, I said, Rudy! And she said, you think of Rudy? And I said, yeah, and that's not who she thought of. Who do you think of?
Well, I immediately think of Lord of the Rings now.
Okay, so that's...
Because that's his big thing.
And he still looks like he did from that movie.
Yeah.
I think she said some chick flick. I don't even remember. It was like,
really?
Yeah.
Chick flick.
Huh? Well, when I see Sean Astin, Goonies is my thing, but... When I think of him, I think of Lord of the Rings.
Because
you went 10 years with nothing but Sean Astin and Lord of the Rings, so it kind of really just blocks your life.
That's true.
After a while, so I think that's what it is for me.
He was good. Six ways from Sean Astin, I'm going to bring
that up. But, you know, getting back in, it's... it's one of those movies. I mean, you know, I love the scene, you know, the mousetrap door opening.
Yeah.
To me, you know, when Chunk has to do the shuffle to get
into the door. The Rube Goldberg contraption device.
Exactly.
Goldberg device.
Just the whole thing, you know, and that's just great. And it just shows that, you know, this whole street is just, they're a family. They just have fun.
You can tell they all know each other for
exactly,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, like they, you know, even when the mom shows up after Data breaks down the screen door and she's just like, oh, it looks like Data stopped by.
Yeah. Like she's used to this.
Yeah. Yeah. There goes another screen door.
Okay. Use the back door next time, I think she says. Yeah.
But that's, you know, like when Chunk, like that's a, like the whole introduction of Chunk is amazing. Like how it's like they force him to do this, but he still wants to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in and he's just so full of shit, you know, all the time that they like can't take him seriously. Like when he's like, I got the most amazing thing to tell you. And they're like, more amazing.
Yeah.
He must lie about just everything.
Yeah. On this planet. And like, I just like he, that actor, Jeff Cohen, like who was no longer an actor soon after this movie.
Yeah. Actually
was perfect for a dude. I mean, like, can you imagine another actor playing like if they tried to do something stupid, like redo Goonies?
They are.
Like a redo?
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck.
And you know, most of them,
that's,
I think.
That's the point of this podcast, man. That's what they're doing.
Yeah. That's why we rehash the movies anything before they destroy
anything
them.
That killed it, that's worth remaking, they will remake it. Especially these kid movies. Stand By Me is going to kill me.
Yeah.
Because
I just can't see them topping. Because, I mean, I watched it and I'm like, there's nothing like dated about this movie really to me. Other than the fashion. But like, you know, the sloth makeup, which took 5 hours, like that is just amazing, you know, and it's kind of goofy, you know, but like that makeup combined with the way Ray Matuzak would like go like,
yeah. And then not to mention that one of the eyes was remote controlled and, you know, these other guys
the
had
ear.
And he had to blink the other eye and they had to like time it 1, 2, 3 and he had to blink and, you know, synchronized with the other robotic eye. I mean, it was crazy, but I think one of the main reasons this movie is so relatable is that you can kind of relate it to your own life in a lot, you know, with your friends, you know, everyone's had a group of friends and you know, and you can, in some way you relate to one of these characters, some way, shape or form, you know, I think that's another reason why it's like, you know, even to this day, that's why I don't think this movie will ever really be outdated is because you can be 2020, you can be 2010, whatever. You watch this movie and it's relatable in some way.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I don't think
I agree.
You know, you find some sort of relation, but no, I mean the like what I said, the introduction of Chunk, and then they make it up into the attic.
Yeah,
and that is like,
well, not
well, but, no, oh yeah, but yeah, you're right. The translation real is Rosalita's.
The translation seems great. The breaking the dick off of David is great.
Look, how's that? Oh, you idiot! You put it on upside down.
Dork! If God meant to do it that way, you'd all be pissing in your faces.
Fine to me.
He says some crazy fucked up things though.
Yeah, he does.
He really does.
Yes. Yeah. But no,
cocaine's in the top shelf.
Yeah.
Marijuana goes in the top shelf. Yeah. Yeah, it was like speed and cocaine in the second, and then the heroin is in the bottom shelf. But and yeah. And you stay in here and you do a good job or you can for 2 weeks without food. I mean, yeah. I mean, everything that he was saying was just ridiculous.
She walks out.
I am in a crazy house, you know. But she stuck there. She stayed.
She did.
Even after all that. Yeah. That didn't sway.
But yeah, they make it up into the attic, and that's kind of when like the music also comes in with like the, you know, like that trickling piano, like
yes.
and then, you know, the scene where basically Mikey, who's kind of the best natured person, the guy that's looking not to fucking gives Chunk the big map on embedded in glass
because he knew he would break
it. He starts counting. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. And boom, like on cue, he does his job.
But then, you know, like, of course, the map is still under all that glass, like conveniently when they pan to the next scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Bad editing.
They had to like shake it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
they shake it off and then they set it down and it's like, oh, it's covered in glass still.
My dad tells me the truth. You know what he said? He told me that One-Eyed Willie and his bunch were down there for 5-6 years. And they were digging all these tunnels and caves, setting booby traps.
Booby traps.
It's what I said, setting booby traps so that anybody that tried to get in there would die. And then you know what he did? He killed all of his men.
Why?
Why'd he kill all of them? Well, because he didn't want them to get to his treasure.
You know what? The little things, Wyatt.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, it's a rehash. That's what we do.
That's what we do.
That's true.
Well, the other part, too, is like, I guess, you know, according to Astin himself, that he was, after the filming, he was able to keep the map. But years later, I guess his mom finds it and thinks it's a crumpled up piece of trash and throws it away.
Ugh. Why would it not be framed? And
well, apparently, well, look at
let's,
exactly. You know, let's be honest, man. Okay. You're a kid.
Maybe if it's not,
you're like, yeah, probably somebody get to keep to it. Yeah, maybe. Fuck, and then you took it down or whatever, and it got tossed in a drawer, and it got crumpled over years, and then yeah, it ends up in the fucking trash. Can you believe that shit? That's just.
I don't know if I believe that story.
He probably got the role for Rudy, Chris, and then was like,
I'm a movie star now.
I got a Notre Dame helmet.
Yeah, Rosalita was great, and but the attic scene, and then that's when, you know, the adventure begins.
Well, not necessarily. Like, first they've got to, you know, they got to incapacitate Bran with his workout device.
Oh, yeah, because he can't let him leave.
Yeah, which
that's
is
the reason.
Is accompanied by a Cyndi Lauper tune that she made for the movie.
Yeah.
Which does not go today. It's not come. What's the word we're looking for? It doesn't translate today. That's what I'm trying to say.
No.
It's no Jurassic Park
did
theme.
Not like, I did not like the Cyndi Lauper song. I'm not going to lie.
No. Well, yeah. Like I said.
Like 30 minutes. Like, what is happening?
Oh, come on. They're on their BMX bikes. They're riding around the coast of Oregon.
True. That was cool. And then like the craziest scene of all time. Like a murder scene. He grabs the guy's hand, you know, Bran's hand.
Yeah.
And then he starts going, and it's like 45 miles an hour. And that little, it's funny because his legs are moving with this, but his legs would be like flying at 45 miles an hour. And that
he'd
little
be
tricycle,
on fire.
He would be literally like on fire. And he grabs his hand, and then he just, and then he takes off and lets him go. That's murder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, basically. That's crazy.
Basically.
And that's okay. And then he gets out of there, and the girls are like, it makes the girls leave Troy, but.
Doesn't he basically launch like 30 feet? 30 feet in the air? And
he
just
goes
like,
pretty far in that little tricycle.
And you're just like, how is the impact of this doom, like, gonna work out?
You Troy know? Just committed murder.
Oh, didn't
totally,
you
they
see?
Were totally cool. The girls are cool with it. Everything was cool.
He just had a few scuffs on his face.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Just a little dirt. No big deal.
You know, I like how it's like he didn't have the doubloon. He didn't have the map or any. I mean, he knew that they were talking about One-Eyed Willie.
Yeah.
But he still managed to find the guys, which was kind of like one of those things where it's like unbelievable, but you just kind of accept it. You know?
You totally do. Yes. Because you're right. Because how the fuck, you know, because you have to have the map to do the alignment of the rocks and to go and
then
like, find
get
that.
Inside the restaurant and go down into the basement.
Yeah, like, how are they going to find? Yeah, exactly.
Like Mama Fratelli is still there, you know, with her pink water.
The only thing we serve is tongues. You boys like fun?
And
totally do.
You know, speaking of, we can't just like undersell the slapstick nature and the music change of the Fratelli brothers.
Oh man,
Joe Pantoliano and shit, what the fuck is his name, man? The guy who plays the other Fratelli brother.
Solo mio, calacate sado.
I love how I know so much about him, but I don't know his damn name.
I don't know.
Actually, I can tell you
now. You're usually right on that,
but
too.
Anyway, like their comedic chemistry was hilarious, accompanied by the music that would change, you know, like to like a... And they're just like, you know, getting either slapped by their mother or trying to fight each other. Like,
yeah, it seems she favored one of the brothers...
Robert Davey, just to jump
in. Robert Davey,
I'm sorry.
Who was pretty much an opera singer.
He was a trained opera singer. That's correct. Yeah. And he sold Spielberg on the whole, like, you know, him wanting to, or, well, the director, but, you know, Spielberg was there. Anywho, to sing opera to Sloth.
That's awesome, because it seems
he sold
so...
It. Yeah, that was his idea, and he wanted to do it. And, you know, it's like, you're a trained opera singer. Of course I'm going to say yes. Why not? You know? Yeah.
That's awesome.
No, that was the killer part.
It's good.
But I think, you know, no, but with, anyway, Robert Davey, he plays Jake, the you know, guy who,
the guy who they break out of prison.
Exactly.
Or now, jail, I should say.
And then you meet the Fratellis, and Mama is just a fucking Spitfire, dude. I mean, you
she's can't got get, some forearms on.
Oh, dude, and you know, and it was really interesting to find out that, you know, she was instructed to slap the shit out of them. I mean, there was no holding back in that. There, every slap
it didn't,
scene
it didn't,
was.
Well, there's it didn't that feel like it.
No, so.
There's that I mean, scene in the basement when she catches his Walkman wire, whatever. Not Jake's, but the other ones, and you can like hear him laugh because yeah. he kind of like thinks he thinks like probably like they should do another take. I think
probably, but they just used that, yeah, one, they just used that one.
But like, yeah, like she slaps the shit out of him, and Michael Davey walks away, and he's yeah. just like, oh my wow, this is fucking crazy. It's pretty funny.
Actually, you know, that the whole scene, I actually have a little fun thing. I have a Rita scene.
Oh,
I have a Rita scene for it. The whole, I'm just gonna pass it out. Actually, I'll just fan it out, and you guys just grab at random.
Somebody's gonna be Mama Fratelli.
We like
would be me.
So yeah, well,
we
yeah.
We like these Rita scenes, huh?
Yeah,
oh, I got Chunk. Hey.
Yeah, I think you're a mixed part, maybe. So.
Oh yeah, I got Chunk.
Yeah, basically this whole scene is within the house. They've left. The Fratellis come back. And basically, they notice that the door is open. And
okay,
we'll just kind of go from
remind
here.
Remind me, which one Francis was that? Was that Pantalone's character?
Francis is Pantalone's character. Yeah, yeah. And Jake is Robert Davey. And yeah,
damn it! I wish I could practice before we do this. I'm gonna sound as bad as I did with Tom Hanks the other night.
No, it's fine. I love it. I love right. the sheer we have no idea what we're doing thing.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. All right.
That's right, it's time for Rita scene.
Okay, everyone, places. This is the final scene, so let's make this one count. And action.
Somebody's been here. The cooler door is open.
So shut it. Who left the lights on?
You did. Sienna.
Pizza?
Shh.
Pepperoni?
Come on, he's eating my pepperoni.
He wants a pepperoni, huh?
come on. Let's kill each other with a pepperoni.
Jake, put that gun away. I said, put that gun away now.
You always liked his. You always took his side, Ma. You like him better over me.
That's right.
Silly. Those are silly.
It's fun, though. You can't help it. Rita scenes are good. Yeah. It gets you in the movie, and you know it's
a just, quick pop. It's a quick pop in and out.
Yeah, it's good. You can't help yourself. But you know, the Fratellis is great. You know, it's like and I love the fact that Fratelli is actually in Italian. I guess means brothers.
Yeah, I read that too.
Yeah, so yeah, that was you know, I mean, it makes sense. You know, that they're just a constant battle.
Well, and they're kind of the comic relief aside from the comic relief of the kids.
True.
Because, you know, it's kind of funny. I watched this with my kid, you know, notwithstanding some fast forwarding through some intense parts. But he liked the Fratellis the most because of the slapstick, getting slapped.
That makes sense.
Going, trying to cross the log, and it was slick shoes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Slipping
it was kind of Home Alone-y. Yeah,
totally.
So, yeah, I mean, it's funny comic relief. It's different, you know, and it kind of makes the villains a little bit, like, easier to deal with for kids, you know?
Yeah, but then suddenly they heard the water trickle down into the drain, and they realized that there was that passageway. Mm-hmm. And that's when, you know, the adventure begins. Oh, yeah,
Chunk spills the water. And
yes,
yeah.
And he has problems with the water.
I got
yeah.
it.
After 4 seconds.
I got it. Yeah, exactly.
Don't got it.
You klutz.
Hope it's not a deposit bottle.
And then, so that's when the adventure starts. And then, you know, it was like...
But underneath a fake fire or a real fire?
also, was it really... Well, I don't think it was fully an adventure because like half of it, they're running away from murderers, which isn't really an adventure as much as like staying alive.
I think what happens during that is the adventure for sure. But okay. Yes, I agree.
Okay, because you know, it's like half it's fighting for your life and half of it's having fun adventure with your buddies.
I felt like it became an adventure when, you know, they kind of like were like, oh, let's go to the fountain. Yeah, yeah. No,
yeah.
Like, no, we stay down here. That's like when the adventure started, when they were like, okay, we're down here for good.
I think the pipes.
Oh, that's true. I guess they felt like they had a way out with Troy.
Yeah. They could have gotten out.
And then it was adventure.
Yeah. I love how they turned to mouth, though, when all the pipes were there. Because your dad's a plumber. You must know. And then what does he tell him to do? The exact opposite of what you should do with pipes, which is fuck with them and make all... I mean, and there's just chaos.
Yeah. Did that really happen? Did they myth bust that? Because...
I don't think that any of that would happen. I don't think
there pipes underneath the houses like that in the first place?
No, they're embedded in concrete.
So where do they go? Okay, so I'm asking stupid questions to begin with. Sorry.
I mean, you could probably jack with pipes, but I don't think they're all dangling down like that.
Didn't Sloth go down there afterwards and they were like moving up and down in rhythm? And he's what are these pipes doing? So your kitchen sink's like up, going up and down with the music.
You're watching everything. And that was like, I said before, and that was like the one scene about this movie that really bugged me. It's like, you know, when Troy is in the bathroom stall and he's taking a shit and he's got his underwear on still. And there clearly must have been a shitter flap or something. I'm not really positive there.
What is this shitter flap?
How else do you sit on the toilet with your underwear on and still be able to take a shit?
Maybe Data made him some. Data made him some.
Data, I don't know. But I don't know. The shitter flap must have been involved. But
shitter flap.
All new from Chester Copper Potty comes Shitter Flap. You'll never be uncomfortable in a bathroom stall again. Just unsnap the flap and take a crap. New from Copper Potty.
New from Copper Potty.
Yeah. From Blammo.
But, I mean, then after that is like, you know, the whole, the bathroom scene.
The bathroom scene.
It's in the whole thing. The men's room this way and that way, but the whole thing is a skull.
Yeah.
And you see that.
Yeah, it zooms out to show the cool skull.
But, you know, and then, I mean, how cool was that, you know? I mean, Mikey, he got to kiss the cheerleader. And it was all an accident and all, but, you know.
And someone saw it.
That's proof. Exactly. I think that's kind of a life goal. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah, it's kind of a life goal. Checked it off the list.
And, yeah, exactly. It's a good bucket list item.
It is, but it's kind of, I mean, how many people does she kiss?
She's quick to kiss.
Because, I mean.
Okay, not only that, but she's like, wait a second, does Bran have braces? Like, yeah. No, you know he does not have braces. Why would you even ask that?
And she's like, he was standing in a hole.
I think
And you're even. And you're even.
So
he's clearly 6 feet taller than you.
I mean, all it would take would be for Mikey really to just touch her with his little hands for her to be like, oh, this is a child.
Okay, don't assume that he has little hands. Astin could have some big old jumbo hands. You don't know.
I'm pretty sure he was only like 12 in this movie.
Yeah.
I had some pretty big hands when I was young.
Well, Chris.
They shrank now, so I can't prove it.
How tall are you, Chris?
I'm like 4'9". Give or take. Those are the first numbers that came to mind. I'm 6'4".
No wonder you're into tangina or whatever.
Dude, tangina. We're back to tangina.
She's right in the same.
I remember talking about her way too much. It's embarrassing you brought it back up.
Oh, my God.
My girlfriend was mad at me. She was jealous of my tangina love.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
The sequence events after that, like, well, where they're basic, that's when the adventure starts, in my opinion, because they get through the Chester Copper Pot, you know, booby traps, but they feel like they're running from the Fratellis at that point.
Right.
And then they make that commitment to go, I would say the commitment to figure out what's going on with the skull bones thing, and then Data almost dies.
Oh, right.
But
totally.
He uses his pinchers of power.
Pinchers of peril.
Pinchers of peril! You guys! I'll be saved by my pinchers of peril!
But I think the well scene, there's a scene that bugs me really bad, and it's actually the Troy scene.
Yeah.
When all the douchebags are above the well and everything. And, you know, the part about it that bugs me is, like, they drop the bucket.
Yeah.
The bucket goes down. And then, you know, Mikey gives his speech and everything. And then they're just like, you know, haven't banged her yet or whatever. And then they start pulling like this. They're just pulling like, oh, the ease. Suddenly, a 100-pound body is nothing. And it's like, I don't get the fact. It's like, could you not tell by the ease of the pull that you're not really pulling anybody else? And then it's a sweater.
Yeah.
So that's like one part that kind of like, you know, it's like,
The one part, huh?
Yeah. There's many parts, but, you know, yes.
Okay, man. I hated that movie because that freaking well scene, man.
Yeah.
I can't watch this film. Damn it. You know, I'm such a critic. No.
It is bad. Like, this is 1985.
But this is me watching it
and
now.
Douchebags and
totally.
leather,
I agree.
Douchebags in Letterman jackets and their red convertibles are still driving out to the well in the middle of the night to play 80s butt rock and talk to their buddies about.
He was going out to flip that coin so he could have sex with the girl.
Exactly.
He picked up his bros
and he said, "Hey guys, we're gonna go out to the wishing well tonight. I got this coin right here." And I stress yet when I say I'm going to lay Amy yet. Yes. But anyway, I'm going to go come on this journey with me. I've got some journey to listen to. No,
I bet they're such douches. I think it you was like, me, hey, man, it's Friday night. Wish him well? Wish him well. And it's like, and then Cyndi Lauper comes on. It's like, some stupid, God, Cyndi Lauper ruined that movie for me.
But yeah, the sad thing is because the adventure, like the Fratellis, are just following the path that they, I mean, the footprints at first, but then the booby traps second. And then third, it's like that hole that the toilet thing opened up just kind of, you know.
There's only so many places to go to, I imagine, you know, through certain holes. And
oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. There was a lot of tubes. Didn't they slide? Didn't at one point they slide down?
Yeah, because One-Eyed Willie liked water slides.
Dude, that scene would be epic. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be fucking fun. Water slides and
super fun. Yeah.
Oh shit!
Somebody should just make a Goonies theme park and have like a One-Eyed Willy's, ship out in the middle of a little.
I think by now you could probably just make an entire pirate themed theme park that's based off all the pirate films that's ever been out there, and you would have a blast.
Yeah,
there's nothing around that. But I have to go back just a little bit to the confession scene for Chunk.
Oh yeah, Chunks.
He's just rattling along.
I couldn't go much further without going back to that because that is the most pivotal moment. It's such a big part in the film, and I wrote down everything that he said, and I have to try it.
Hey, Chris, pass that flower over. The earphone thing. Jason's cord is hitting his.
Oh, that's what it is. I'm sitting here going, where? Yeah. Shit! Look at that. Okay.
There.
Ha! Much better.
I kept hearing this like ka-clank, ka-clank.
Yeah. I know. That I was didn't pretty even bad. Know. As long as you didn't hear it, I guess it wasn't that bad. But
so no, where were we?
Back to the Chunk confession scene.
Okay.
I happen to write down everything you said, and I'm going to try it.
You happen to write it all down?
I'm going to try it.
Okay. So, shit. What do you mean you're going
to
try
it? Did you happen to write it down or did you write it down?
No, I wrote it down. I wrote it down.
You made it sound like you accidentally wrote it down.
I accidentally wrote it.
Like he slipped and fell and wrote it down.
It's just so like, something weird happened and the words got on paper.
So anyway, I wrote everything down. So I'm gonna try it. All I need is somebody to tell me this today. Tell us everything. And I'll try.
Tell us everything.
Okay. In third grade, I cheated on my history exam. In fourth grade, I stole my uncle's toupee and glued it on my face, and I played Moses. In fifth grade, I knocked my sister down the stairs, and I blamed it on the dog. Oh, then I wrote something else wrong.
That was pretty good.
No, there's still more, but I fucked up on what I wrote.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah. I brought the fake puke over the home and climbed to the balcony. Yeah, so anyway, but yeah.
you got good until you couldn't read your own
reaction. Well, no, because I had a different note in the middle, and I don't know how that.
See, I'm just saying, if you did it on purpose, if you purposely wrote it down, you'd be able to.
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah,
I probably would have nailed that. That probably.
Yeah,
pretty
I'm pretty
good.
Sure if the intent was there, you would have remembered it. But since
you accidentally did it,
yeah.
No, I'm reading along, and all of a sudden, I threw a random note like right in the middle. I'm like, why did I do that?
Did you know?
I did. It's a total did you know.
So wait, when you threw it in there, did you actually threw
actually, it's kind of ironic.
So was the whole town considered Goonies? Yes.
No, just the Goondocks.
I have to go to right, my so, ironic
so,
thought.
Oh, so, so this not, is, that's not a town?
I don't know that this is bad, but I think what like my...
We're just going to skip over that part.
my
your impromptu fucking read of scenes.
my interpretation is that like they live right on the water there, like they show it.
Yeah,
you can see the water, so they live on the docks near. Okay, like
so it's just like a part of.
I think it's just
shitty part of town. Shitty
yeah,
part of town.
Like maybe just like where a bunch of fishermen lived or something in the past. So it's like old.
They're gonna turn it into a mall. What was it?
A golf course.
Golf course. That's yeah, right. Golf okay. course.
And then hopefully they make a bunker so they can keep their balls out. Yeah.
that's right.
Yeah.
Good one.
That's kind of like, you know. Dinosaur droppings.
Oh, okay. One of my favorite parts of the Goonies is when they finally get to the ship. And they because the ship is,
which by the way was an actual
ship.
It had to be. It's beautiful. Yeah.
No, they built it.
There's no way it could have been CGI.
And the funny part about that is that after the end of filming, they offered it to somebody or anybody who would take it.
Nobody wanted it.
Really? Nobody wanted that?
So they just demolished it. How fucking fucked up is that?
These stories, man, they're hard to believe.
Spielberg, you're rich. Can't you sail a goddamn? Anyway, sorry.
How could you not make that out of I make the house out of that now.
Yeah, seriously. That would be my houseboat. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to derail you there. So
you didn't derail me. Okay, I agree.
Yeah.
I appreciate your strength of agreement there.
Mm-mm. So let's backtrack just a little bit because we have to go back. We did jump a little ahead because we totally missed the introduction with Sloth.
Yeah, we didn't really get into Sloth yet.
You have to get into Sloth.
Sloth.
Yeah, well, it starts with...
The third Fratelli brother, you know?
It starts with Sam, or Sam, right? Gosh.
Mikey. No.
Mikey.
Well, yeah, Mikey
meets him for the first time.
He kicks the food in.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we get to the best meeting scene for the entire movie, which is Chunk meets Sloth.
Yeah. After Chunk gets interrogated.
He's so accepting, too.
Oh,
Chunk is so progressive.
But let's be honest, man. You're sitting in that scene. You're in that chair, and you go, oh, hi, sir. Hi.
And he just growls at you. He's like,
yeah.
Hi, sir. My name's Lawrence. So sometimes people call me Chunk.
And then he goes, and just starts like rocking in that chair like no other. It's like, I don't think I would have handled that scene any better than that moment right there.
No, that whole scene is great where it's like, you know, like Sloth gets a kick out of how Chunk's flipping out. So he picks him up and gives him a kiss. And he's just like, fizz-ed.
Yeah, you sound like fizz-ed. It's
a fizz-ed.
Oh, I thought you said fish heads.
No, that would have been better. He says fizz-ed.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, 100%. Well, I don't know what fizz head.
Hey, what the hell's fizz ed?
Yeah. Fizz ed, like physical education, like fizz ed class.
Oh, you smell like fizz ed.
Yeah.
Okay, shit, he's talking about fucking...
I can see that. I can see that makes sense. Yeah. I think fish heads is better.
I think fish heads is better.
I heard fish heads
would have been better.
It makes more sense.
Yeah.
They both smell dirty.
But that scene, like Sloth is just like watching the cake and he's like, chocolate? Like it's just surreal, you know, like how... Like it seems like he's got the mental capacity of a kid, you know, but he's a
completely
like a linebacker, you know. Like,
oh, you don't even know where where's the genealogy there compared to the three brothers?
Exactly. Well, and Mama Fratelli, see her forearms.
Dude. No, she was a bodybuilder in her day, but
the actor Ray Matuzak, though, he played for the Raiders.
And yeah, he did.
He was a hard partier though, so
he was in a number of films. And yeah, unfortunately, he did pass away.
Yeah, seems like that's been a story of late with the movies.
Yeah, and that's the shitty part. But but you know the adventure whole part, and then we do the water slide to the boat scene. I love because actually I read about this part, which was actually Josh Brolin's debut film.
Makes sense.
But anyway, he. Then when they built the ship, it took like five or so months or whatever to build that ship. And I remember when they took that water slide down and crashed in there, that was the whole part, like the first time they saw the boat. And the whole time, Spielberg and the director wanted authentic viewing of the ship by the kids.
Right.
They wanted to be the awestruck part. And well, they got the scene, but then Josh Brolin utters, "Holy shit." And they had to scrap the whole thing and reshoot it. So they lost the authenticity of the immediate reaction, which would probably
because it was a good reaction.
Way better. Oh yeah,
but they already had so many shits.
Right.
I mean, Chunk's oh shit, what? You know, like
I don't get that because you're right.
They cut the wrong ones out, I guess, apparently.
Well,
how many shits can you? It was PG-13.
It was like it was said over 19 times.
Because this was one of those after that came out after. After the PG-13 rating came out.
Yes, it was. So,
it was PG-13.
It was a PG-13.
I mean, there was no nudity or anything like that.
No.
There wasn't a lot of death. I mean, there were skeletons.
But that's what it was. I mean,
I remember back in the day, I remember Data.
Data.
Because I always refer back to TNG, The Next Generation, when I think of Data. So
I go Data.
It's Data.
I go Data.
Well, when I used to think of Data, I used to think he was a kind of a foolish type character, but his contraptions actually worked most of the time.
They were quite cool.
Like one of them saved his life from a spike.
Yeah.
And they were just like teeth.
That's all he needs to know is one of them saved his life.
Well, a number of them saved his life, actually.
But I thought they were kind of just like a joke. He was kind of a joke, but they didn't. They were like legit tools,
which worked. He almost killed everybody though on the piano when he like came in and just jumped on everybody's shoulders.
Just about destroyed everything. All the floors started falling on and shit. Yeah.
But then he goes and saves him with his boxing glove that knocks the Fratellis out.
Exactly. See, that's what I was saying. You know, the oil slick totally bought them time. Yeah. Pinchers Apparel saved his life. Yeah. Boxing glove socked Jake in the face. Or was it Pantaleano? I can't remember which one.
The lights didn't do much. The lights were kind of... He basically blinded everybody.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell about the batteries.
Yeah. But it worked. It just, you know...
I was thinking that time, like, oh man, 80s flashlights. It was short-lived. No batteries.
Yeah. No, for sure.
It blinded them for a minute. Maybe you can get away after a quick blind.
Yeah. I don't know.
So let's talk about the ship real quick. I mean, so they fly into the water.
Yeah.
So there's a deleted scene that has to be brought up, and we will put on our website for sure. The deleted scene of the octopus.
Oh yeah!
It wasn't in the episode I saw. I mean, I've
no. It's been.
It was, we've talked about YouTube it before. I've never seen it.
Yes, and it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Please check it out if you haven't. Either way, we'll put it on our website.
I'll make it to the website. Check it out.
Yeah, but the whole scene is they see the ship. They're making their way, and suddenly it starts out. I can't remember her name. Damn it, right now. But the chick with the glasses,
Steph.
Thank you. Hates mouth, even in real life, apparently. That's not, that worked very well for their characters. But anyway, starts getting brushed in the leg with this big octopus, and then it gets, obviously, there's a reason why
accusing it, accusing mouth.
Exactly.
Of touching her.
Exactly. And then, she slaps him, and then all of a sudden, it takes her and whatever, and it's actually quite intense.
Why did they delete it?
Well, they've deleted a few other scenes in the film because they thought that obviously it was going to scare children and they didn't want it. So I believe that probably was one of the reasons.
Like a Jaws type experience?
Yeah, but this octopus is cheesy and it gets defeated by Data shoving a Walkman into its mouth.
Well, there you go.
It kind of like shocks him or something, I guess.
Yeah.
But and then it just kind of like runs away. So I mean, I guess it was a deletable scene, but it's actually a pretty cool scene though at the same time. So I mean, I could see it have been left.
They cut it out, but then they mention it at the end.
Data mentions it when they get rescued.
There was a huge octopus when they get rescued. And
you're
like
what?
I always remember. I mean, when I was a kid, I was like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, is he exaggerating? Is Data like?
What are you talking about the octopus?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah. So it was a deleted scene and never came out ever? It was never on any...
No, it was on a version that Disney released because Disney bought the movie and then it was released on...
Jeez.
That was my frog throat.
It's not like a Morlock.
But actually, I also believe it was televised.
Oh, okay. Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was televised.
I guess I had just seen it. I have never seen it.
I've heard about it. I've heard rumors about it.
There's more deleted scenes too, not just that.
Yeah, there's a number of them. Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah.
There's not an alternative ending. There's no ending
where they die or anything.
There's
got to be.
Well, you know what?
An ending where
you can
like
find one
where the sloth doesn't make it.
You're right.
That or rock like goes down.
Or like a sequel, like Goonies 2, where Sloth and Chunk get an apartment together, and it's like.
Well, there is a Goonies 2 that could be. Sloth and Chunk live in San Francisco.
College years.
Yeah, exactly.
The closest thing to a sequel was a Nintendo game, and it was so off.
But I mean, now that so we're in the ship and everything, and the gems, and they're just rifling through all the treasure. I mean, come on.
Before Mikey makes his little love letter to One Eye Willie.
That's true. Yes, he has his little monologue there, which was touching.
Which he thought he was alone. I mean, who knows what he would have said in front of everybody, but
exactly.
He was alone.
He needed his time. But seriously, it's like you see the treasure and the Fratellis come in and you're just like, then all of a sudden his booby trap didn't quite work as well. Well, no, it wasn't booby trap. His invention is what I meant to say.
Well, yeah, they all get caught and they're, you know, like forcing all them to get rid of their treasure, which is kind of funny that they're all like, yeah, let's take treasure because we know where we are. You know, I mean, like they don't even know where they are. They're just in the, you know.
Well, and it's like, to me, it's like, who cares? You take your shit. You take your shit. We all can't carry this crap out.
Yeah.
So who really cares who gets all the treasure? Because you can't take it anyway.
Yeah.
Just fill your shit and fucking bail. You know, it's like, at that point, for me, it was like, at that point, I would say, hey, truce, let's just grab shit and bail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's like, why do we have to fight?
Fill your pockets and go.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, you know, why? And I know he explained it for a second when he was in the attic, but. And you guys have told me this before, and I still hate the answers. But why, if someone can get out with the map, why didn't they all get out? Why couldn't they all get out? Why did they stay on the ship? Well, how did the map make it out? I know you're looking at me like, it's dumb. It's dumb. And then he's like, and then I think Chunk asked, or somebody asked, how did the map get out? And he just says, oh,
somebody escaped with the map.
Don't ask stupid questions.
It's the same way.
It's like, no, I don't understand.
It's the same way that a lowly scientist on an island full of dinosaurs can fucking turn off the power and everything goes to shit.
Jurassic Park, a good throwdown.
Yeah.
Now, you assholes. Now I have to.
I haven't seen it in a while, so I'm good. Down for it.
Let's go on.
It's one of my faves, I have to be honest.
All right, well, I do this every episode. I'm gonna throw it out there and say Goonies is great. I don't think anybody can watch Goonies and think, man. We'll get to movies where, well, we'll get there, but I watched Goonies, it was great, and it was good when I was young.
Yeah,
it's probably better if I was a little older, like when you guys watched it the first time.
Right.
Yeah. I know. It didn't meet your boobie quota, but.
Oh no! It was still a pretty good movie. I do tend to have a boobie quota, but you this movie. Well, if you watch Goonies, you should not expect boobies.
No, that's true. I don't even know why that came out.
You know, but other than that, you know,
I was looking at Wyatt when I said that. I was thinking.
Well, Troy. I mean, Troy was trying to look at Andy's.
Boobies. Oh yeah, you know, there was a boobie attempt.
Troy was he was a douche nozzle for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Big time.
All right, good movie.
Definitely, absolutely, and if we don't have anything, let's.
We haven't. How long? It's been a while since we yo jab at it.
Yeah. Yeah, it has.
I don't know. It might have been not. I don't know. I think it has. Okay, let's go. Yo Jabba's so ugly, he tried to join an ugly contest, and they said no professionals allowed.
Yo Jabba is so stupid that he thinks a pessimist is someone who actually sprays for bugs.
Yo Jabba's so stupid that when she gets, she stopped at a stop sign and is still waiting for it to turn green.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Yo Jabba's breath is so bad, he walked by a clock, and he heard tick-tack, tick-tack. Tic-tac.
Tic-tac. Yo Jabba is so stupid that he sent his goldfish to obedience school.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Cinema Stash Rehash. Be sure to give us some awesome iTunes reviews, like us on Facebook. Don't forget to check out past episodes and join us next time on Cinema Stash Rehash.